This is the Washoe County Advisory Board to Manage Wildlife meeting. Today is Thursday, June 11, 2015.
Pledge allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Miles Humphries Jr.
Present.
Sean Shang.
Present.
Michelle Spencer.
Here.
Butch Tamblyn.
Here.
Kathy Smith is absent tonight. We do have a quorum, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Go to number three. Public comment. Does anybody have anything to say about anything? Not seeing any? Bring it back. Go to number four. Approval of the May 7, 2015 minutes. Take it out to the public. Anybody have anything? I'm not seeing any. Did anybody
have anything? I'm going to make a motion to approve the minutes as submitted.
Shay will second that.
You got to finish it now.
Oh, yeah, sorry. It was too quick. all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say nay. Passes unanimously. Number five, board member meeting assignments, a discussion and selection of members to attend the Wildlife Commission meetings June 19th and 20th and in Eureka, and one August 7th and 8th in Fallon. I am going to go to the one in Eureka, and Butch, did you want to do the one in Fallon?
Yeah, I'll go to Fallon.
Okay. And then you guys will have to decide, because after this Eureka one, I can't do any of them until January. I mean, I won't even be here just for our meetings. That's about it. So just think about the other ones, because I think a couple of them are in Reno, and I think there's one in Vegas. So just so you guys know. Yeah, the next one, Las Vegas, and the next one, Reno. So just think about it. You guys can be there.
So,
but when that comes up, just
Miles loves Vegas.
Yeah,
I like Vegas.
Okay. Just the only thing I got was from Kathy Smith that she wasn't going to be here.
And what?
It was just from the Kathy Smith that she wasn't going to be here. That was on the correspondence I got. Okay. We'll go on to number six. Committee member and liaison updates, correspondence or announcements, overview of the May 15th and 16th meeting. I thought it went pretty good. I mean, they were pretty much, for the most part, went with our recommendations, except they changed 11, 12, 13. They added a little bit more tags, but they still whacked it down kind of closer to what we were looking for. So that was I thought that was good. They actually kind of listened to us, which was kind of surprising a little bit. So
I was curious to see how I was going to go with the revenue side of things.
Yeah, it is what it is. So, did anybody
speak up a little bit so the old folks over here can hear?
You know, actually, I can do correspondence here. There was one thing that I saw come on that I think everybody should be concerned about, is that Ruby 360 thing going on in the Humboldt or the Rubies, about the helicopter bill to bring in hunters or hunter supply and into heliports in the wilderness that are private property. So that's just something that's going to come up that I think people need to be heads up about. So anything else?
You will make sure your copies of this, right? Please.
Yes.
Thank you.
Sign in?
Yep. Okay. Well, actually, so we'll go down to number six is done. We'll go down to number seven if anything behind me. So next thing we have is a law enforcement division update. So I asked law enforcement to come out and give a little spiel on why they're great.
Oh, wait a minute. I
So a little PowerPoint, so if we want to go to the front. Just kind of break up the monotony a little bit of these meetings.
Well, this will be monotonous. Don't worry about it.
Yep, saw
it. How are you doing? Good. How's it work? I don't know about that.
I'm bossier.
Okay.
Is it all right if I sit back here, sir, and speak?
That's fine, as long as you say something.
I will.
Otherwise, all I'm putting is narrated a PowerPoint and said nothing.
So in case you don't know, I'm Mike McCusker. I'm currently the game warden supervisor for the Western Region. So Sean asked if I would... Chairman Shea asked if I would present something. Just kind of a little update on the division. I didn't know exactly what he was looking for, but I wanted to kind of tell our story and more so on the challenges that we have to face and, you know, the struggles we're having. So if you'll see on the map here over here to your right, I know it's kind of hard to see in the dark, but our state is separated, you all know, into three regions, Western, Eastern, and Southern. We do that for all divisions. Same for law enforcement. And the different numbers and the different shades are the patrol areas for the wardens. So currently our division is set up like this. We have our chief, we have four captains. We only have three right now. There's a vacancy, and one more is going to retire in less than a month. Actually, it's the 6th of July. He's retiring. We have three lieutenants, one for each region. We have field wardens, full-time field wardens. We're supposed to have 31, and that's 9 in the Western region, 7 in the Eastern, and 15 in the Southern region. We currently have 19, plus one is retiring in January of 2016. So we also have instituted a seasonal program. We currently have, well, we're supposed to have four. We currently have one. However, we just hired one. He started on this last Monday, so we'll have two there. And we have a reserve warden program, and there's currently two of those, and they're both located in the Western region. So of that, total commissioned officers, we have supposed to have 45. Currently, we have 29 commissioned officers to cover the state, with one known additional departure through January. Well, actually, two, counting the captain. So that's what we're dealing with as far as numbers. So if you can see on the map, this is how we're broken up, and I don't know if you guys can see that, but you can come look at it right now. And I want to show this part, which is the way we currently stand. So if you see the purple, that's currently parts where we have no game wardens. So the entire middle of the state, there's not a game warden that can patrol this area. So what does that mean for the rest of us? That means there's a call, you go from wherever it is to cover it. But it doesn't mean it's getting patrolled that often. This is a little out of date. We just released a guy to the field, I think, last Monday in Ely to cover this section. So this is now changed. But when I printed this, that was the current thing. But it's a pretty dramatic showing of where we're at. And I do want to point out that the assignments are for... It's mainly for dispatch, and so that we can find out who's responsible for what. So if a call comes in the Sheldon, they call Randy Lucetti first because it's his area of responsibility. If Randy's not on or somebody's closer, they'll call the next closest warden. But that's all that means. It doesn't mean that, you know, 1420 can't go over here, but that's the way it's broken down. So just a little idea of what we're dealing with. Service time is another big one. You can see, especially with this, with the lack of bodies, currently we have 6 wardens with 20 plus years of service. We have 11 with 10 to 19, 2 wardens with 6 to 9 years, and we'll have 26 wardens with less than 5 years experience. So that's pretty huge. Average warden experience currently is 8.2 years. And I'm saying the 26 with less than 5 years, and that's if and when we get those positions hired, they're certainly going to have less than 5 years. So there's just a little graphic of the breakdown in service time. And that's a big deal because experience means a lot. The more you get to experience, the better you handle situations in the field, the more capable of an officer you are. It's not saying guys with less than 5 years aren't capable. You just get better at it. In the last 6 years, we've had 20 wardens leave for other agencies while having less than 5 years of service. It takes us approximately 1 year from the time we hire them to train them to get them out in the field on their own. So it's a long time. Then it's a drain on their other resources because we've got to train them. And it takes thousands and thousands of all of our dollars, sportsmen's dollars, to do so, to train these guys and get them out in the field, and countless man hours dedicated to it. This is a picture of our in-service in 2009. There's 35 guys in the photo. The red circles, 19 of them since 2009, are no longer with us. This is just one shot in time of, here's a 2009 in-service photo. 12 of them retired, 7 left for other employment with other law enforcement or what have you. Jump forward to 2014, still 35 in the photo, which is means we're down numbers anyways. 11 are no longer with us from this photo in 2014. 4 retired, 6 left for other employment, and there are 8 new faces since the 2009 photo in the picture. That's not including all the ones in between 9 and 14 that left, you know, came on for a year or two and then left. So that's what we're facing. And I circled Tony's face, too. Just, he's new. This is what we publish internally. This is what our target is. Okay, we want 65% of patrol time, 2% on wildlife conflict, 5% training, community relations 10%, major wildlife crimes 2%. That's what that says. I can't read it.
8.
Administration 10%. In reality, and I can't, you know, say for certain these numbers are accurate, but this is how I feel that we're at, is actually maybe 45% patrol time. And patrol is, you know, because we're spending so much time training and dealing with human wildlife conflicts, that this number goes down. So these numbers are going up, this number is going down. Most police forces have different divisions, like, you know, patrol, detectives, homicide, traffic, administration. Due to the size of our division and the separation geographically, we don't have that luxury, so each one of us has to do every one of those jobs. First and foremost, we are the face of NDAL out in the field because we contact the hunters, all the sportsmen out in the field. Patrol, investigations, human wildlife conflict, public safety, we're teachers, trainers, background investigators, recruiters, search and rescue. Each one of our guys has to pick up some sort of training requirement to train all the rest of us. We have certain post requirements, firearms, DTs, OC, baton. So we, each one of those, everybody in a region has to have some sort of extra functions that takes more time away from the field to do our patrol and stuff. This is the, as far as citations and contacts, this is what we do. This is, I think this is 2012. So the contact types and breakdowns, 45% of our contacts are for wildlife enforcement, 55% for boat. Of that, for the time that we spend, 67% of our time is spent doing wildlife patrol, or at least of the 100% of the patrol time. And 33% of that is for boating. These are the wildlife violations detected as of 2012. 1,008 wildlife violations, 627 warnings, 381 citations, 3,066 voting violations detected, 2,455 warnings, and 611 citations. And that citation is anything from a misdemeanor citation to an OUI arrest to a criminal complaint in court. You know, up here in the wildlife, it includes all that. These are the top 5 wildlife violations experienced in 2012. Fishing without a license, by far the most prevalent. No second pole stamp, take possessed trout without a stamp, loaded weapon in a vehicle, and then fishing Colorado River without the Colorado River stamp. You can see the basis of our wildlife violations is fishing. It is the thing that is there all year round, so we do spend a lot of time doing fishing enforcement along with the wildlife stuff when seasons are on. Top five boating violations, PFD, personal flotation device, excess speed, flat weight, registration violations, failure to carry extinguisher, and water skiing violations of those. Nevada area, approximately, I don't know if these are on the money, but 110,500 square miles, 87% of that is federal land. At full staffing, which is 31 wardens, we have the average patrol area, 3,567 square miles per warden, which is second only to Alaska in size per patrol area. Our largest patrol area is over 10,000 square miles for one person to cover. Surface acres of water, 385, of course, when we are not in drought like we are this year. That's 11,000 acres per warden. Now, of course, a lot of this doesn't take into account Indian reservations and the test site, et cetera, private land, but just a total number for the state of Nevada. 2013-14 license year, we sold just almost 40,000 hunting licenses, plus 30,000 combo licenses, 91,000 fishing licenses, which also including the 30,000 combos, so I didn't double dip it. Number of licensed trappers, 1,491. Total license sales, including the combos, 161,744. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean 161,724 different people, because some people buy separate hunting and fishing licenses, or they buy a one day. But it gives you a general idea. Nevada population in 2014, almost 3 million people. So what does this mean? On total registered boats in 2014, almost 45,000. So if you take those numbers, and you can twist them how you want, but average of just over 5,000 license holders per field warden spread out over an average of 3,500 square miles of patrol area when we're fully staffed, or almost 1,500 vessels on 12,400 surface acres per field warden. We do have 39 patrol vessels, but we don't have 39 wardens to drive them. But what this equals is you got to be in the right place at the right time. More importantly, it means we need the public's help. The public is our eyes and ears out there, and most of our cases generated from the public, what they saw when they were out there. We can only be in one canyon in one day at one time. You know, you're looking at 3,500 square miles. That ain't covering very much, right? So these are the programs that we have in the state. Operation Game Thief, we have major wildlife crimes or investigations, Guides and Outfitters Program, Laws and Regulations, Boating Program. We're just picking up OHV now, AIS Quag Inspection and Information, our Reserve Program, and our Seasonal Program. OGT is a big one for us. Most of our caseload is generated by the general public to report illegal activity. This is huge. And if you don't know about the OGT program, it's just like most of the other ones. You remain anonymous. You can earn monetary rewards for convictions. It's a toll-free number. And just saves Nevada's wildlife from those people that are taking it away from the rest of us. So what do we do out there? We're basically the police force for the vast open spaces in Nevada. Not many other folks out there. Occasional BLM ranger, occasional Forest Service guy, LEO up in the forest. But we're basically it out on the land. We are the face of NDAO. We are Category 1 certified peace officers. What that means is we have full peace officer authority throughout the state. We can enforce any laws in Nevada while performing our duties, but the sportsmen and women pay us to focus on Title 45 and Chapter 48. So we focus on the hunting, fishing, trapping, boating, and we deal with anything else that we have to out there. It doesn't mean we don't call other enforcement agencies to come handle other things, which we certainly do, but we handle it if we have to. What are our challenges? Manpower, obviously, we discussed that. Very porous regulations. And I can't stress this enough, that people, and we get this all the time, well, that's a stupid law. Well, you know what? We don't write them, okay? Game wardens don't write laws. We have somebody that is in charge of initiating or putting together language that we like, but you guys know the process that it goes through everything. The cabs, the commission, the legislature, and it gets twisted, and then we have to deal with it and enforce it out in the land. And it makes it very difficult because there is that barrier between, you know, us knowing what we can enforce and the way it should be written to enforce, and then what we actually get makes it very difficult. This isn't CSI or TV, meaning we don't have all those tools and stuff that you see on TV. It is very, very basic law enforcement detective type stuff. We don't, our witnesses can't speak. It's the deer and the antelope and the elk that see what happens generally. They can't tell us what happened. We have very unreliable or non-existent backup because we're out there by ourselves. Even if you had to call the sheriff's office guy for backup, he's 2 hours away and he has no idea where you're at. So it puts you out there, you know, by yourself dealing with people sometimes that aren't the best people in the world. Fortunately, down here, 99% of the people we contact are law-abiding recreational enthusiasts. We have the best radio system in the state, but there are still some coverage issues. So our radio system covers the entire state. Fantastic, but it's not 100%. Unreliable cell phone coverage in remote areas. We all know how our cell phones don't work in a lot of places. So in essence, you're out there by yourself. So we try to hire people, good heads on their shoulders, no John Waynes that are going to go out and get themselves killed or get in trouble or anything else. People that can deal with people. And hopefully you guys are experiencing that in the field when you contact them. Weather's another big challenge for us, as you can see. 95% of the people we contact are armed in one way or another. Knife, gun, it's just what we deal with. The problem now is we're in a more reactive mode or approach. We try to be proactive as much as possible. That means going out patrolling and contacting people. But we're so short-staffed that we're being more reactive like your sheriff's office would be, which is call. In the eastern region this year, these guys were buried in cases. It was 3 months later that they were finally getting the OGTs or public calling in saying, hey, I saw this. Well, I don't have time to get to it. We just don't have enough people out there. And also, we're not just checking licenses out there, and I don't want to necessarily talk about these, but you know, the Squaw Reservoir last year, you know, while in the midst of doing fishing enforcement patrol, one of our guys came across a stolen vehicle, and it had to do with the two people that stole it and arrest them and take them to jail and deal with the car. Felons in possessions of firearms, that happens quite a bit, we see it. If you guys remember the Star Peak incident with the hermit a few years ago, it was actually one of our wardens that contacted the guy during the hunting season, had a couple of cars buried and hidden and stuff. We thought he was growing dope. They got the sheriff's office involved. Well, we backed out of it, and the sheriff's office, I mean, of course, the whole bandwidth. Well, the guy ended up getting killed out there by the sheriff's office. So very dangerous situations out there, especially with the marijuana grows nowadays. They're prevalent. Fortunately, by the time most of us go hunting, that stuff is wrapped up. At these early seasons, it's very prevalent with their growth. Temporary protection orders that we have to deal with out there with people and guns, and you know, you run them and they come back with some issues, and we deal with a lot of warrants. So you're just checking a fishing license, he doesn't have it, you run him, he's got a warrant, now you're stuck. Now you got to take this guy to jail or whatever you got to do. And these were just a couple of cases that I threw in. I wasn't going to talk much about them. But you guys all heard about that Southern Nevada poaching ring that they busted, I think it was last year or the year before. Very big case, a lot of man time, manpower. Some illegal aliens were using fictitious Social Security numbers to draw tags. And that's how this all started. Well, it actually started with some Facebook posts and stuff, and then it led into all this, and it opened our eyes to the way our system can be abused by people. You know, if they know how to work it, guys are using fake Social Security numbers and putting in multiple times and drawing all kinds of tags. So that helped us out quite a bit. We've done a lot of border work, keeping our borders safe because they're just so porous, especially with these We did several years, we did operations down on the Utah border. Utah has a five-day rifle season. So it's a nice, quick little thing. Those Utah guys, God bless them, but they just don't care where they're at. So we made a lot of busts on this, a lot of cases for guys coming over shooting Nevada deer. But just a little something there. So I think that's all I have. Anybody has any questions? Hope I didn't bore you too bad.
No, I thought it was good, Mike. Thanks. I just want people to see that they got a lot more to do with the
wildlife.
So,
just out of curiosity, since the bear numbers have been going up, is that where you guys are seeing that huge conflict?
Say that again?
The bear numbers are going up?
Just bears.
Okay.
I mean, we've been very fortunate that our management has listened to us and said we need a second bear person.
Okay.
And they had Cooper last year, and this year they have Heather.
Oh,
that has been huge in taking some of that relief off. But the bears is a big part of it. More than anything, it's because of the drought conditions we've been in. Coyote calls, mountain lions, following the deer into town. So it is constant with that. Bobcats, rattlesnakes. This is the only green. This year's, I mean, we're getting all these rains, so it's keeping it green out there, but it hasn't been too bad. As soon as it starts drying up, all the bunnies and quail and everything come into town, and then all the predators come with it, and that's when it really explodes. This year's been different because we had these early spring rains. Usually this time of year, we're just flooded with coyotes and mountain lions and bears.
Just one more thing. Oh, sorry.
Go ahead, Bob.
So what you have been up to full employment in a long time. What do you think is the biggest barrier to get a full batch? Is it the 4-year degree or what is it?
Are you asking,
Mike, why don't you just hire 20 or 19, 11 guys tomorrow and get up to speed?
It's not that easy.
Well, that's what I'm asking.
Right, okay. So it is very difficult. We bit off a lot this last time. We had we actually had 12 vacancies and we were trying to hire 10. Okay, the logistics to train them is impossible. When you've got 31 total guys, but now you're whole, so now we have 14 guys to train 10 people. It doesn't work. We're doing the best we can with it. Right now we have 5 in the academy in Southern Nevada. We have 3 that just graduated Northern Nevada. So we're trying to stagger it where we can, and even 3 at a time is ridiculous. Well, now we got 4 because we just hired a seasonal. So now we've got 9 people, 5 in post, 4 in field training, or in mini academy, and we have 1 in field training over in the Eastern region. It is such a drain on the resources. That's why we took this big chunk, to try to get ahead of it. But just as we did so, we lost 2 more guys. So you put sand in the hole, and then sand falls out of the hole. So it's never ending. And it's tough on our guys because it is a lot of extra work. Now, okay, you got to go patrol. Yeah, but guess what? Now you got to go do all this other stuff.
Right.
It's tough.
But you still have people applying. It's not.
We do.
It's not an issue of there's not enough.
What we found is we get a lot of applicants. So the way I like to describe it is we have a very big pool of applicants. The problem is the pool is like that deep, meaning we're getting a lot of guys that just want a law enforcement job. We don't want those because they don't hunt, they don't fish, they don't understand. And just because you don't hunt and fish doesn't mean you can't be a game warden, but it helps.
Right.
Because you want that background to understand that the law is a black and white thing, but it's really not. So you don't want a guy going, well, it says this is illegal, here's your ticket. We don't want those people. Plus, if we hire guys that just want a law enforcement job, this isn't a high-paying law enforcement job.
Right.
We lose them. So we try to pick out those guys, and we've been fairly successful with, wildlife ecology degrees and some kind of biology degree. Not that criminal justice isn't it, because we've got plenty that have come in and done it. But we try to weed out those guys that you can see that aren't going to stick with us long. But we haven't had good success, as you can see.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very difficult when we're paying X and Henderson is paying Y plus 7. I mean, very difficult. Even the guys with a wildlife ecology degree, they go, I can go make twice as much. I got to deal with a bunch of knuckleheads, but I can make a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
So it's tough.
Okay. One more.
What?
And there's no federal enforcement on any federal refuges or anything like that? I mean, there's no... I don't know.
Yeah, it is. It is very touch and go with the Fed. So down at Stillwater, they hadn't had anybody for a long time. Then they hired Brandon Kiefer down there, which was awesome. So he was down there for like 3 years. Well, then federal employment, you know how they're here for 2 years and he's gone and they haven't filled it. Up on the Sheldon, there is one guy, but he's also in charge of, he has to do HART as well. Mm-hmm. So he knows Randy's up there, so he doesn't spend a whole lot of time on the Sheldon. So how that works. So, there are people there, but it's not a big priority for them. Mm-hmm. Yes. So, but there are people around.
I got a question. Is that map where there's no patrolling going on, that isn't privy to the general public?
We do not advertise this, and so I'm very hesitant to show you.
I was going to say.
Okay, good. Yeah. It's not that there's no patrolling going on, but there isn't regular patrolling.
Right.
So that just expands everybody else's to go on there. Everybody has their own responsibilities and their own patrol areas, and they try to cover it, but you're getting half here and half here now. So you're even watering it down further.
Because I've ran into people who've said that there's hardly nothing going on, Eureka-ish area, and yeah, so I'm like, well,
I think
trying to answer the question.
That thing really shows you how important the general public is.
It is huge.
I mean, that's scary. That's really scary.
It is huge, and so many people are hesitant to call us. They don't want to be the rat, the snitch, and everything else. It's not that big a deal. But it is, because they're stealing from all of us.
Yeah.
You know, you drew a tag, and how hard is it to draw a tag? And now this guy's out there shooting his wife's and his mother, or whatever, you know. It is huge to tell us, to get us on board.
One thing I was going to applaud you for that last meeting, that tranquilizer stuff, it was nice to actually see the women in there. I mean, it was refreshing to see that instead of, you know, just a bunch of guys in there. So that was kind of nice.
We've recognized that, and we've done our best to do so. We just hired in the class recruitment. We did hire two female.
Yeah.
Awesome. I mean, it is tough to find someone that can do the job that wants to do the job that's female. You know, and we've had several female applicants that just didn't. Well, it's tons of male applicants that just couldn't quite do it. But that pool is a lot smaller with the females. So we found a couple of good ones, I think, and we're trying to, you know, look there. In this new recruitment, we just opened another one to fill these other vacancies that we have, I think, last week. And there's several, at least on paper, that look, you know, really good. So we're certainly going to, you know, there's nothing says females can't do it.
Look
at Christy Knight, look at Karen Weldon. They did it for a long time, and they did a fantastic job.
Yeah, that's great to see, I think. Anybody else have any questions? Okay, thanks, Mike. That was good. Thank you.
Real good.
That was number 7. We'll go on to number 8. This is a change of meeting day and time again. This was just brought up again so we can discuss it a little bit since we have. Actually, I was thinking Kathy was going to be here, so it'd be a good thing to go. So. Like I said, we brought this up last time, and we wanted to bring it back up. Let's bring it up to the public first. I'm sorry. Does anybody have anything to say about that? Please do.
Rex Flowers, speaking on behalf of myself. I still stand by my testimony last time. I'm against afternoon meetings based on the ability of the public, the board members, and prospective board members to have an opportunity to participate or serve. Again, no other cab holds meetings midday or late afternoon. I think it's relevant to bring up that NRS 501.297. Duties evaluating local opinion and advising commission. Board shall solicit and evaluate local opinion and advise the commission on matters relating to the management of wildlife within their respective counties. Now, you need to afford the greatest opportunity to the members of the public to be heard. And I don't think you can do that by having a meeting at 2 or 3 in the afternoon. It was also At the last meeting, both members Humphreys and Smith commented that it would create a difficulty for them to attend given their work schedules. They both have time to still serve. I think it should be noted, too, that Member Smith is a member of the general public. And we're, you know, I hate to say we're stepping on sacred ground there, but she is general public. She should be able to have good input, and I worry about that situation. I would not be against you moving to Tuesday or Wednesday of the week of the commission, given the fact that tonight you have items on your agenda you cannot take action on. Those materials won't come out until tomorrow, I've been told. I've gone to the department and submitted emails and stuff, and I was told tonight that it'll be available tomorrow. You're not the only ones that are going to be missing it. Pershing County can't take action tonight. Eureka meets tomorrow night, I believe, so they might be able to take action. Again, I just think you need to consider those points. Also, Sean and Michelle, you're both going to possibly take action tonight on something, and this is your last meeting of your current term. You probably will be. I'm confident you will be here for the next term. But in theory, you could be taking action tonight to make a change that affects new people who are submitting their applications. And perhaps they may replace you. We don't. I would hope not, but we need to give consideration. Thank you.
Anybody else?
For the record, Bob Bruner speaking for myself. I just want to second what Mr. Flowers had to say for the same reasons and the same, you know, I don't know the benefit you're trying to get by having a Friday afternoon meeting. I heard some rumors, but he's got some pretty sound things. I'm going to go with those.
Anybody else? I'm not seeing any. I'll bring it back to the board. Actually, I'll talk about it first. A good point was brought up about the Monday or Tuesday meeting. And I would like to hear what people have to say on it, but is there a way we can not take an action on this and bring it up again just so we have a full board and we can talk about maybe moving it to Monday or Tuesday or... Okay, because we don't have that on here, and I think it'd be nice to have.
Just table it and then reset it for the next.
You want to say who you are before I have to yell at you?
Oh my gosh, Robert. Jan Gustafson, Deputy District Attorney.
Good job, Robert.
Yeah, you can just table it and then re-put it on an agenda feature.
Okay.
Well, if I can make a comment before you.
Can, yeah.
Table yeah,
it.
Go ahead.
It seems to me, and you might remember, and Rex probably, it seems like when we first were on this board, it seemed like we would have one meeting on a Monday, and then maybe the next one was on a Thursday. It seemed like it alternated. That's just something that it seemed like was in my head. I don't know why, but that...
The meeting schedule is kind of up to you guys, and yes, it has rotated between the Thursday and the Monday before.
Yeah,
the problem with the Monday or Tuesday before is you may or may not get meeting minutes in time for a Friday meeting.
Right.
Thursday or Friday is better. It gives me a weekend to get...
Can you state your name first, please?
Oh, I know.
That was good.
No, it's kind of up to you. And usually it was to accommodate schedules as necessary and holidays.
So. And holidays.
Yeah. Generally holidays is the only reason we move it to a Monday. But okay. Like I say, it's up to you. We haven't set the calendar for 16 or 17 yet.
And if you want to leave the agenda item, Jennifer Gustafson, Robert, just in case I forgot. If you want to leave the agenda item more open instead of putting specific times and dates like we have on this agenda item, so that if you want to have more discussion at a future meeting, that's fine to leave it a little more vague.
Okay. I think I'd be more comfortable with that. I like the full input.
Okay. Let's do a motion to continue to the next meeting, and we'll come up with some new action.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Language.
Okay. So I guess we table that, huh?
Yeah, because it's only four possible options.
Yeah. So, okay, we'll go on to number nine. This is the Commission Regulation 15-08, Amendment 1, the 2016 Heritage Tags Organization Vendor Selection. I'll take it out to the public if anybody has anything to say. Please do.
Get up there.
You bet. I'm just staying.
Dan Shoup, representing Nevada Waterfowl, Reno Chapter. We've put in an application. I just want to make sure that we're recognized for a heritage tag, an antelope heritage tag, which we raffle off. And we've done it the last couple years. I just want to make sure that we're on record, and we appreciate it very much. And we hope to receive another one for our banquet next year to raffle off.
Okay.
On behalf of Nevada Waterfowl, thank you.
Appreciate you showing up. Anybody else?
Good, how are you?
Unfortunately, Heritage Committee doesn't have all their support material out. They have a late application that will need to probably be heard. From Wynn, there was a situation where Wynn's application did not get in, and I understand that that's going to come before.
Can we just have a short recess? The computer just up and died on me.
Sorry about that,
Eric. All right,
go ahead.
Not a problem. Again, on the vendors, the vendor tags, you all have the packet already of what was the preliminary from the Heritage Committee. The only thing I would ask you is if I would ask you to put in an alternate on the deer tag, that if they accept a late application from Wynn, that they take the mule deer from NBU and give to Wynn. They got $105,000 for that tag this year. They've done a good job all along. They've been there every year. I believe that they will accept their late application. I mean, they've been one heck of a group, and it's been a good support between them. My other concern is on the wild turkey tags. They're giving one tag to Bristlecone Family Services. Yes, it's an NGO. It is not wildlife-oriented. I'd like to see it stay with the wildlife-oriented group. Also, if you look in your packet, that NGO has a TBA for their event. You don't even know if they're going to auction the tag off before the spring turkey hunt. So I would suggest that perhaps move that away from Bristlecone and give it to the Nevada Sportsman's Unlimited group. Let them have two tags, same as what the Heritage is recommending with the Wild Turkey Foundation. That's my only comments.
Okay. Anybody else? Not seeing any. I'll bring it back. I think... Actually, I'll start right here. That was the first thing I saw was that Bristlecone Family Services, and then that blew a flag to me. And I agree what's been said. I think both those changes would be good. So, does anybody have anything?
No.
Well, do you have anything?
Mm-mm.
Butch, do you have any?
Nothing, thank
you. Well, I'll try and make a motion. I'll make a motion that we recommend to the Commission that they accept Commission Regulation 15-08, Amendment 1, 2016 Heritage Tags Organization Vendor Selection, with the following changes. It is taking the wild turkey that was turkey tag that's supposed to go to Bristlecone Family Services and give that extra one to Nevada Sportsman Unlimited, so they will have two instead of one. And if Wynn's application is accepted,
Wynn,
W-H-I-N.
Yes.
Is there?
Okay.
Yeah. If their application is accepted, I would take the mule deer tag from NBU Reno and give it to Wynn. Do you have a second?
I'll second that.
Who are you?
Miles Humphreys, Jr.
Okay. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, say nay. Okay, passes. Go to number 10, the duck stamp request. I think what we'll do is we'll take a motion on the whole thing, but I want to go through, since it could be pretty fast, item by item, or proposal by proposal, and if somebody has a question, just please, I'll stop at each one, and if they have a question on it, if not, we'll keep going through them. So the first one, where is it? Sorry. So the first one was the Carson Lake and Pasture Vegetation Management. Did anybody have any public any on this one? Not seeing any. I'll bring it back to the board.
No.
Okay. The only question I had was, I don't know if anybody here can help us, but still, what's been done with the horses on Carson? Maybe one of you guys... No? Okay. So that was the only question I had, is revegetation management in Carson.
Carson was having a horse problem?
Carson Lake.
I thought it was only...
Oh, is it just...
Carson Lake is Washington. You're talking, that's Greenhead, right?
Greenhead, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm thinking of Scripps. You're right. I'm sorry. I'm Scripps. That's exactly what... Sorry. I was... Scripps, I don't know what the heck I was thinking there. Well, thank you. That solved that one. Not seeing any. I'll go to the next one. Was the Kurtz Wildlife Management Area food plots? Did any public have anything on that? Okay. Anybody on the board? Anybody have any questions on it? Not seeing any. Go to the next one. Next one was the Key Pittman Wildlife Management Area wildlife food plots. Public have any comments on those? The board?
No.
Okay. There's just a few more. The Mason Valley Wildlife Management Vegetation Control. Did the public have anything to say on that? Bring back the board? No? Next one is the Mason Valley Wildlife Management Area Joggles Pump Station.
What pump station?
Joggles. J-O-G-G-L-E-S.
Okay.
Public, have any comment on that? Board? Not seeing any. For the next one.
Excuse me.
Oh.
On the Joggles, is that pump station at Mason Valley, correct?
Yes.
Mason Valley, yeah.
Yes.
Is that the pump station at the hatchery or at the fields?
This is Joggles pump station at the Mason Valley Wildlife Management Area. Charles Pump Station will be used by the... Well, that's why I'm going through each one, because so, I mean, some of these we don't know.
No comment.
It says it'll run when the water is pumped out of the Jawa as well. Delivered to wetlands and food plot on the eastern portion.
Okay. Next one is the Mason Valley Wildlife Management Area prescribed burns. Any public have any say on that? No. Nope. Bring it back to the board. Nothing. Okay. Go to the next one. Mason Valley Wildlife Management Area Redhead Pump Station. Anybody have anything to say on that? No. No. Okay. Next one is the North American Waterfowl Management Plan Implementation Support. The public have anything to say on that? $10,000 going to that, so if anybody had any questions. The only question I had is not very specific on what this is all going to. I mean, I thought they could be more specific on what's Nevada's money going to, and it's kind of vague.
You want clarity on that?
I would want clarity on it. myself. So that's what I had written down here.
I can clear that up for you.
Public, please.
Rex Flowers, speaking on behalf of myself. That money actually is a $10,000 donation. Goes back to DU for use on wetlands within Canada.
Okay.
So those ducks that fly through United States over many years, and DU have put a lot of money into Canada because that's a major nesting area.
Right.
And that's all that is. It's a donation for that. And the benefit to Nevada is the ducks that fly south. And every year, the numbers are growing on ducks.
Right. So this is it's a habitat thing.
It is a habitat thing, yes.
Okay, that's where I was getting it.
Yeah.
Because it's too big on that.
And in return, DU actually now spends money in the state of Nevada. They do send money to the state. So we give them $10,000, we get a pittance back.
Okay, thanks for clearing that up, because I had questions on that. Okay, next one is Overton and Key Pittman Wildlife Management Area's Wetland Enhancement. Phase 2. That's $30,000. Did anybody in the public have nothing? The board? No? Okay. Got a couple more, guys. That's it. The Overton Wildlife Management Area Farming. Public have any comment on that? Board? Not seeing any. We'll go to the next one. Overton Wildlife Management Irrigation System Repair. $16,000. Public? None? Board? Okay. A lot in Overton. Overton Wildlife Management Water Outlet and Pipe Replacement. Public have any comment? No? No. The board. Next one is Overton Wildlife Management Weed Control. Public? Anybody? Okay. Next one would be the Fallon Wood Duck Project. Maybe you can help me out here. Does anybody from the public have any questions on that? Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm Dan Shoup from Nevada Waterfowl. That's in conjunction with the Wood Duck Project. Mm-hmm. I don't have the support materials with me. I thought that had concluded the project. The Wood Duck Project had concluded
last year.
This would be the last year, I think.
So what are they asking for?
$30,000.
Here.
Is it $30,000? Which I have a thin question here. It includes 3% overhead.
No, it's more than $30,000.
No. The thing I had was it said it includes a 3% overhead to Nevada Waterfowl Association, and I thought that's from all sources.
No, I'm just saying.
Stillwater, Fish and Wildlife Service. Yeah, but from just the wildlife reserve account was $30,000 for that. And I questioned that 3% overhead in Nevada Waterfowl Association because I thought that was a little.
I'll let him comment and then I'll tell you if you want to know what it is.
I am not into the financials of this, but I'm shocked at this dollar value. I thought they had already moved on to the Canvasback back project.
Okay, well. That's why I'm bringing these up one by
That's
one.
That's why I'm at.
Yeah.
You have more knowledge?
I'm looking for clarification.
I'm all ears.
So.
Rex Flowers. I was surprised. This is going to be the last year. I mean, this project's, what, almost 20 years old?
Yeah.
Wow. And we've given them $20,000 to $30,000 almost every year, it seems like. Originally, if you remember, that was all that all started out in Heritage.
Right. I remember there was something about that.
I would tell you, when you look at this and you look at dollar amounts, don't get too excited because there's an overage left in the fund every year. We got $250,000, $300,000 left after all the projects are done. All these projects are all projects are submitted and done through NDOW. None of these are personal projects. So they're all department. That 3% you're seeing is there's some study work that is done at UNR.
Okay.
And when UNR does study work, I believe it's UNR, and
there is.
When the UNR does the study work, there's like a 8 or 10% fee. But if they do the study work, not for another agency, but for an NGO, it's a 3% fee. So, all the study stuff goes to Nevada Waterfowlers, who submits it to the university, and in return, we pay them a 3% fee, giving us more money back in our own pocket. That's how it was explained a couple of years ago to us. That's why you have that overhead fee. Every project that is done, there has an overhead fee.
Okay, well, this is the first one that actually...
No, but your Endow charges on every project. They have administrative fees. So, yeah, and that's on Heritage or anything else. But that's why you have the 3% here, is because it's done through an... The work that's done at UNR is done through an NGO, and so they get a reduced rate.
Okay.
And then we have to reimburse them for it.
Right, right.
Okay.
And this was, if I remember right, this was the last year of this.
It is.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. The board have anything else to say on that? No? Okay. Just a couple more. Next one is the geolocators for waterfowl dispersal patterns project. Anybody have any questions on that? Nope. Board? Not seeing any. And last one. Eastern Region Wildlife Management Areas Weed Control. Did any of the... Not seeing anything back on the board. Okay. Well, that's what I want to go through all this. We'll bring it back to the board. Somebody want to make a motion?
Michelle Spencer, I will move that we suggest to the board, their commissioners, that they accept the duck stamp request as written.
I'll second that. Miles Humphreys, Jr.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say nay. Passes unanimously. Okay. On to number 11, the Upland Game Stamp request. Bring it out to the public if anybody has anything just general to say about it.
Are we going to speak on that?
I didn't know anything about Upland Game. So... I'll bring it back to the board. I was going to go through each one of them, but if no one has any... actually, there was one thing I had a question on that maybe you can help me with. Actually, the first thing, I have to applaud the Carson Valley Chugger Club. I mean, it is amazing how much money they donated, you know, and NBU Midas. I mean, once I went through this, I applaud them. That was great. The only question I had was, which page was it on? Sorry, guys. It had to do with the telephone pole removal. Mm-hmm. And I was curious, why did the owners of those telephone poles have to pay to get those removed?
I don't know the specifics of it, but it might just be an abandoned line. And they don't have to remove them.
Oh,
they
really?
Can stay up forever. So, in order to reduce the amount of purchase for ravens and vultures, that's probably why they do that.
Just maybe don't know, but I'm just going to throw this out as a thing: is if they're a telephone line or a power line, it seems to me that the power company or the telephone company would kind of volunteer a little bit to show, you know, slap themselves on the back for this. Has that been, that address been looked at?
I'm not sure, because that's an Eastern Region thing. But I know that where I came from down in Pioche, all through that valley there was an abandoned line. Mm-hmm. And I tried to get anybody to remove it, and finally they abandoned it so that the public could go and just take those poles and maybe make different things out of it.
Okay.
Let me know if that happens to any power poles. I need a few.
Okay, that was the only question I had on that, because I kind of threw a flag up his way. The people that put up. So, and maybe you can help me out a little bit on this too. I have one more question. You know, on this, I see a. Why isn't the BLM helping out a little bit more on this? I mean, I really see these projects as, man, they need to start making themselves look good, and they're not doing it. And I was just curious why I don't see more of their names, you know, throwing a little bit of money or something out of that.
I don't have an answer for that.
Okay. I think I got your answer by that. So, okay. That was my
only... Thank you.
Okay. Those are my only questions.
I'm closer to the mic just in case. Okay. Please, fine. Thanks.
Does, I'll bring it back... Bring it back to the board. Does anybody want to make a motion on this? I'll make a motion. I'll make a motion that we recommend to the commission that they accept the Upland Game Stamp request as written.
I'll second that. Miles Humphreys, Jr.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say nay. Passes 4-0. Okay. The next thing is... This is going to be tough. Number 12, number 13, and basically number 14, we have no support material. A little bit for 14, but there's nothing that really tells us about them. There's no description, so I don't see how we can make a motion on those when we have no material, which will be seen Friday morning, right? The Heritage?
13 and 14. I mean 12 and 13. 14 material has been out for a month.
All we've got is project title, and that's it. There's no description on what this is going to do, though.
I'll comment in public comments.
Let's go to public comment.
Turn public comment period at the end. Okay? I'll comment now.
All right, where are we going,
Ken? Rex Flowers speaking on behalf of himself.
Which item are you on? 12, 13, or 14?
Would be a 14.
Would be on 14.
Okay,
12 and 13.
Let me get through 12 and 13. No specific action on 12 and 13 due to lack of support materials.
Correct.
Okay.
And that support material won't be out until the Friday meeting. So on to 14.
Okay.
Public.
Now you're good.
Okay. Rex Flowers speaking on that. So on item 14, Heritage Committee met in May and did a preliminary meeting. All the support material for 14 is on that committee's website.
Okay,
that's why it wasn't done again. The commission will hear reports from the Heritage and the TAC committee coming up. But the actual support material for both those committees is within the committee's spots on the website. So you should have gotten the Heritage's printed out every year in May, and it's sent out, and it's really extensive. You should have gotten a big book. Also, like I say, it is on the website. It's been there for over a month. But and that's why you're getting there is the preliminary. It would depend on how you look at it. According to the website, that's their final proposal, I believe is how they listed that.
Okay.
If you go to the Heritage Committee, that is their preliminary proposal. The only project on there that isn't funded was Sherm Swanson.
Right. I remember something.
And I would like to see you folks take a position to request that there be some sort of a partial funding. It's too bad that the department isn't here to give their position, and there aren't any meeting minutes to support why they did what they did. But I feel that there is some validity to what he's doing. And you know, I believe Cody Schroeder's getting $130,000-$140,000 for habitat restoration up in Elko County. I will tell you that he hasn't used hardly any money over the last 4 years. He just now got his NEPA done. He's got $300,000, I think, sitting there in outside funding sources, isn't it?
305, I think, total project cost?
For outside funding for Cody Schroeder. I think he has $375,000. It's one of your first. It would be one of your first.
One for Cody Schroeder.
Yeah. Spruce Mountain?
It's Mueller Corridor and Survival Analysis. I see another one for Cody in here.
Is it not Cody Schroeder? I'm sorry. Caleb McAdoo.
Oh.
I'm sorry. He has $375,000. He could miss another. He could miss $10,000, and that could go to help Sherm Swanson. Thank you.
Any more public comment? Did you want to say anything about it or not? No? Okay. I'll bring it back to the board. So, what did you say, 380? So, I'll put those two together.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's kind of weird.
Yeah, there's a kid not going to have need that. Actually, I agree. That's probably take. Let me clarify what you said real quick. When you said 300, and he's got the Heritage Committee's recommended funding and the funds available, or just the funds available for Caleb?
Can I see your copy there for a second? When you look at Caleb, he requested $155,000. His total project cost is $525,000. He has $375,000 sitting in the bank account already, other monies that have been generated. Some of those are extensions from prior years.
From what?
Huh?
From what it looks like, it's got $393,000.
He's got $375,000 in there. And then he wanted another $150,000 to give him $525,000. The department is looking to give him $136,000. So even at $375,000, he's still going to have a little over $500,000 sitting there to use in 1 year. Now, he's not going to get it all.
Right.
Some of that money's going to have to be projected to go forward. And the last item here is just how many funds or how much money's left as you subtract each of these out.
Right.
So, okay.
Anybody else on the board have any questions? You can bring it back. Somebody want to make a motion?
Tim, make a motion that we recommend the Nevada Board of Wildlife Commissioners approve the recommendations from the Heritage Committee for the 2016 project application for funding.
As written?
As written.
Okay. Motion dies due to lack of second.
Okay.
Is that correct, sir?
Yes, that is correct.
Another motion?
Make another motion. I recommend, we'll make a motion that we recommend to the commission that they accept the fiscal year 2016 Heritage Project proposals as written, with the exception of, out of that Heritage, I guess it's a request of $150,000 from proposal number 16-05, is taking that down to $140,000 and giving that $140,000,
mm-hmm.
and giving that extra $10,000 to Heritage proposal project number 16-12.
One
second.
Okay, who's going to be the second? Fight over.
Go ahead. Sure.
I'll second. Member Spencer, sorry.
I don't know why that's not correct. I heard it for close.
I'll take my second away. Take your motion away.
We want to withdraw the motion.
Yeah, so withdraw the motion. I want to get that
right.
Right. Because it was a valid point. I want a clarification.
Huh? Third time's a charm?
Give me some clarification on that one, then.
Reduce the 136, whatever it is, to 126.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was looking at the wrong call.
He's got it. Just in the wrong.
I would want you to tell me what project so I know.
16-05.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, so I'll remake the motion. I'll make a motion that we recommend to the commission that they accept fiscal year 2016 Heritage Project proposals as written, except with this change. Under Heritage Proposal Number 16-05, the Heritage Committee's recommended funding from 136,470 down to 126,470, and that $10,000 will go to Project 16-12.
Second, Member Spencer.
Okay.
Thank you.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say nay. That's just, okay. So opposed is 14. This one?
No, the last one you have. Just a little bit. Oh. Thanks.
Item number 15, Commission Regulation 14-11, Amendment Number 2, the 2015-2016 Upland Game and Fur Bear Amendments. Does the public have anything to say on that? No? Bring it back to the board. The board have anything? I've got a question for you, I may ask. I found the sage grouse thing really confusing. When you start looking at open areas, I mean, they're doubling and then they're just taking one away, and there's three different. And I looked at this and I didn't know how to clarify it. It was really confusing for me. Oh, do you have that page?
Mm-hmm.
So on the first page where it says sage grouse, and it says open areas, and then you go to the next page, and there's two more with sage grouse open areas. And I know that the season dates are different.
Right.
I don't know why that seems. Why there's. What am I trying to say? Because in the same thing, you have open areas. Lander, say Humboldt County accept units 12, 32, 33, like that, and they're the same for each one. I'm just looking at that as layman's. If I was to look at this, if someone just opened this thing, they'd be going, okay, sage grouse, open areas are good for there for the first Saturday and Sunday of October, and then they're good for there, except between September 25th and October 9th, and then accept those same units from September 25th to October 4th.
Yeah, it's Mike Scott for the record. It's very confusing for us as well. Part of one of the issues that you have is you have different planning units, and so different groups prefer to have different seasons. Different biologists prefer to have different seasons, different BLM districts, and Sheldon and all these different entities all have some input into what we do. And so we try to be responsible and make everyone happy, and it gets pretty confusing.
Okay. Thanks. I was just like, it kind of, that was the only problem I had with it. It was a little confusing.
Yeah, a lot of them is, you know, the seasons vary. So you have different seasons across the state in different areas. But there's really, I think there's three different seasons that we have.
Right.
And it just depends on where they end up being stuck.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. That's just confusing to me. So.
What? Stuck or scheduled? Going to stick it with the season or schedule the season?
Schedule is.
Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else have anything? Does somebody want to make a motion on this?
I'm going to make a motion that we recommend the Nevada Board of Wildlife Commissioners approve the 2015-16 Greater Sage-Grouse Open and Closed Hunting Units and Hunt Areas and the quotas for wild turkey and certain bobcat pelt ceiling dates as written.
We did a little goof there.
Huh? You're in number 15?
Oh. We'll do it again. Commission Regulations 14-11 Amendment 2, 2015-2016. The board will recommend approval of the amendment to the 2015-2016 Greater Sage-Grouse Open and Closed Hunt Units, Hunt Areas, and Quotas for Wild Turkey and Certain Bobcat Pelt Ceiling Dates as written.
Sure. I'll second that. Chairman Shea, I'll second that. Okay. Okay. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed say nay. Passes 4-0. Next one, number 16. Biennial Upland Game Release Plan for Fiscal Years 2016-2017. Take out to the public. Anybody has anything to say? Not seeing, I'll bring it back to the board. I have one question for the state. Might be able to answer, I don't know. You know, one thing that I thought would be kind of nice to see on these, on the sheet, you know, like the...
That the release plan itself.
Release plan in front of it,
mm-hmm.
is where it says release site. Somewhere in there where it would tell you that it's federal land, state land, or private land. Just as a clarification.
Okay.
You know, just to... Because I think it's vague. If people just read it, they're going to think, oh, it's on federal land, but... Some of these, I noticed, when you read more into them, they're actually going to be put on private property.
Yeah, and that depends on, a lot of times that depends on whether the species that we're releasing is native or non-native. Sometimes it's a lot more complicated to release non-native birds, like chukar.
Right.
It's difficult for us to release chukar anymore on public land because they're not native. So... there's times that we get cooperation from landowners where we can release non-native birds on their property.
Okay. Well, I think it's
yeah, I agree. I think that's probably a good thing to...
So people can't, you know, hey, why don't you guys tell us this? So...
Yeah. That could probably be in the comment section as well, but... it actually should be on there. Generally, if you look down, you'll see like cooperating land management agencies.
Mm-hmm.
If that's not there, then it probably would be a private land type deal. But I'm not sure if we have any of those or not.
It does say in it says
yeah. See, like the
document, it says in accordance with BLM and USFS land planning documents. Coordination with private landowners as well.
I didn't see that.
It was a lot to read.
Well, I'm sure Miles might have answered my question. Sorry about that.
No, that's okay.
I didn't. just skipped right over that little line. But, yeah, I see them on all of them now, talking about management agencies. Cooperative with landowner pending. Well, I'm corrected. Thank you. Anybody have any more questions? If not, I'll bring it back for a motion.
I'll make a motion that we approve the biennial upland game release plan for fiscal years 2016 and 2017 as written.
Number special.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed say nay. Passes. Agenda item number 17, arbitration request by Wade West regarding elk incentive tag awards as determined by the Nevada Department of Wildlife. I'll take it out to the public.
Rex Flowers speaking on behalf of myself. Not only don't you have any support material, I do not believe you have any standing in this. You didn't even need to agendize it. This is an internal situation for the commission. Okay.
Thanks. Can I just not make a motion on it?
You can take no action if you so desire.
Yeah.
But if it's on their agenda, we got access to it too. So it's up to you guys.
But we don't have any on this Wade West support materials for that, so. That's like a recommendation. We don't take any action. Number 18, Washoe County Advisory Board, Managed Wildlife members and or staff announcements, request for information and selection of topics for future agendas. Next meeting I will have, I've already talked to him, Dave Canlon, and he will be coming and talking about your bats and whatever else wants to talk about. So something
Catalano, right?
Yes. So something different. So I appreciate you coming in, Mike, and doing that. Just let everybody know the stuff you guys got. So.
Any other new items? We will have board elections that day too.
That's
fine. Because we should have any new board appointments.
Okay. And then,
unless you want to wait till August. I think it's when we did them last year, wasn't it, August?
You do them in the first meeting of the new year.
Well, that is July 1, so.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
July 30.
Okay, let's do
it. Well, I mean, if we're not here, then you'll have to do it.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm going to keep you there in perpetuity.
We're on 18 still, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I would like to bring up have someone comment on the wild horses on the scripts and also just to see where that's at, because it seems to be that there is about five, maybe six new babies that are coming in there, so they're reproducing at a heavy rate.
Would that be Alan Janae?
Yeah, it would be. Habitat, but...
Okay, well, let me know who.
It would be. I'm just afraid we're going to hear the same thing.
Okay.
So, but yeah, it'd be Alan Janae.
More and more, seeing them on
the
scripts.
I agree.
Which is supposed to be the protected part of the whole deal.
Yeah. No, so. I think keep pounding, so...
Okay. Anything else?
Anything else for 18? Last one's
take it off to the point.
Number 19, public comments. Anybody have anything to say?
Public comments on
anything you want. Go ahead.
Yes, Dan Shoup, representing Dan Shoup. I agree, the horse deal at Scripps has got to be addressed. It's an uphill battle because you're going to go against Fish and Wildlife, state parks, and DOT owns the fences that the horses are trampling over. Just so you know, DOT has the fences. BLM's not going to help.
So it's a mixed bag of everybody pointing fingers and nobody wanting to do anything with the general public. Somebody's going to die out there with them stinking horses, let alone them cramping all the goose nests and duck nests out there. So I agree it needs to be brought up and heard, public comment, galore, or whatever, because it's a tragedy what's going on out there.
Right.
Thank you.
Rex Flores, I would suggest that if you do anything on the scripts, that you make it a possible action so that you could conceivably go forward with it to the commission and ask the commission to become involved, to send letters to the necessary people. Those horses actually belong to Nevada State Agriculture, I believe it is. Nevada Ag, that's out of that Virginia range, and that doesn't come under the federal government. Those are state horses. But yeah, I would suggest you make it for possible action.
Thanks. Anybody else? I'm not seeing any. We're done.